This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Yeah, I was told I was being tested for the role of Thor, and I had half a day. So in March, mid-March last year, I came in and met Craig and met Ken and did a test for Thor with the full blonde wig and facial hair and 20 pounds extra of muscle, which I'd managed to find somewhere. I think it was about a month later that I was back in London, and Ken and Craig and Kevin called and said, I just want to let you know that we have definitely and definitively found someone else for Thor. I was like, oh, okay. But we'd like to offer you the part of Loki, at which point I screamed and had to sit down on the pavement somewhere outside a grisly pub in North London and think about the rest of my life for a bit, contemplate my existence. So that's how I got the part. Yeah.
Now, did your history with Ken play into that, or...?
You'd have to ask him. It's thrilling to work with him, to be directed by him, because I've only ever acted alongside him, and in a few different, very different things. And I think initially I probably felt like I was understood, and he knew what I could do. So I suppose I didn't feel nervous about meeting him or acting in front of him in any sense. I was just ready to go, to jump straight in, take risks, be as big and broad and wrong as I, at risk being wrong, basically, knowing that he would steer me in the right direction if I was. So it certainly has given me a greater freedom, I feel, because I feel like I can cook up whatever my instinct is cooking up, and he will just say, a bit less of that, a bit more of this. You know, it's a thrill. It's a great privilege to continue to work with an actor in that way, to keep a relationship going and moving. You know,
let's go back to that moment when you got Loki. You had this reaction. Was that a thank God I got something in this movie, or is that really the part you felt most comfortable with?
Well, it's funny because I knew I was being considered for both. Craig tells a story that actually I was always going for Loki. It's just I didn't know that. Ken had intimated that he was looking for someone, as the role of Thor was beginning to emerge on the page, he was looking for someone with a raw and physical intensity. That the actor playing Thor had to have a physical instinct that was immediately present and readable. And he knew I could do that, but it wasn't the first thing that came to mind. And he was very flattering about what I have, what my gifts are as an actor, and that maybe they'd be better suited in a slightly, a slightly more psychologically complex role that was less about the physicality and more about the machinations of his brain and what's going on, and you know. Being an English baddie, I'm sure.
Could you talk a little bit about the journey? A lot of us are familiar with the comic.
Yeah.
We know your character.
Absolutely.
So, but could you talk about, in the film, how it's being played?
It was starting at the beginning, I think, it's safe to say. And I start in the film as Thor's younger brother. And I think... in the manner of all younger brothers, I have a greater sense of freedom. I'm not the oldest, therefore the parental expectations aren't as heavy. So in this, like a lot of younger children in sibling groups, I think Loki has a bit more freedom. He's not going to be king, he knows that, and so he's freer there's less responsibility on his shoulders, so he's freer to have a bit more fun. And I think we've everybody at Marvel's been very clear and brilliant about kind of coming into this, that Loki is, he just has, they're both enormously gifted. Thor and Loki are a two-man team, and they're both going to run Asgard when Odin steps down. And Thor has a nobility and a physicality and a presence, a physical presence that is He's the type of man you follow. You just do. In the same way they used to talk about all the leaders, the captains and the generals that came out of both world wars, that those captains and generals weren't necessarily elected, just in battle. There were certain men who were followed. You know, leaders were born, and Thor is that guy. And Loki's gifts are different in that he's sharper, he's cleverer, he's more interested in tactics and strategy. He's capable of thinking ahead, and he enjoys chaos. So he enjoys reacting to chaos, and that affects how, you know, given that he's the god of mischief, mischief is essentially chaos. He likes stoking the fire of chaos and seeing what happens as a result. And so I think that's where we start, in that he's just, he's physically not as strong, but he's quicker and sharper, and if that's fair to say.
I'm listening, don't worry.
Yeah, quicker, sharper, more playful, and then I think it, over the course of the story, and I can't say the full story, but there is a kind of a couple of major shocks about Loki and his history, and who he is and why he is, come to him. He is made aware of for the very first time in the film. So there are certain things that fans of the comics will already know, but hopefully you see Loki learn certain things about himself for the first time. So it's a journey of self-awareness. He doesn't, at the beginning of the film, know his own power. And I think through the course of the film, he comes to learn his true nature and the extent of his power. But with an innate propensity for mischief, I think as soon as he knows how powerful it is, that's when it becomes dangerous.
We got Marvel to play with some of those fantastic weapons. How have you learned to wield them?
It's been fascinating, actually. And the one of the first things I did when I came on board was that we started with stunt training, and we thought, like, what is it would be boring if Thor was a tank. It would be boring if Loki was another tank, and they were just running into each other. So we thought, if Thor is thunder and power and muscle and brawn, and he's got his hammer, Loki should be so quick. He's like the wind. So if Thor is heavy, Loki is light. We thought, what would be the weapon that Loki would be fighting with? So we thought of these throwing knives, because I think Loki doesn't like to get his hands dirty in a fight. Likes to be quick, efficient, and lethal. It's like one blow, slam. So we thought of these throwing knives, and I thought that if there's a way that if Loki could fight in a way that was as impressive as Thor's, but was completely different. So in a way, like, Loki's too quick and Thor can't catch him. You know, I've sort of conceived of Loki as a kind of capoeira martial artist, with these throwing knives. Someone who's like, he's like a dancer. He dances his way out of combat, and these knives are his way of keeping his foes at arm's length. But it's lethal. When you get one of those knives in, you're gone. I had a great time, actually. We were shooting on another set, shooting a big battle sequence, and the set was made of this stuff. It was kind of, it looked hard, but it was soft. It was foam. And my stunt knives were rubber, so they didn't, like, take out the grip or the camera operator. but one of my, we found out, like, I would always throw them, and Russell Bobbitt, the props master, would always go and retrieve them for me for the next take. And he couldn't find one of the daggers, and we were, like, looking all over the set for this dagger. We're like, where the hell did it go? And, like, about half an hour later, we thought we'd lost it somewhere in the green screen. And he said, "Ta!" And he pointed up, and this rubber knife was stuck clean into the set. So I knew that I was throwing them with some kind of velocity.
Can you talk about sort of how heavy and cumbersome or difficult is it acting with this giant horned helmet?
The horns are amazing. Like, it was the last thing I got to try on when I did the costume fittings, and it was for me it was the most important thing, because I'd read all, as soon as I got the part, I had 9 months to prepare. I read all the comics. I would, like, write the way through the history of the journey of the stories and everything, and the different illustrators and the different writers. And I thought that the horns are, it's like you know, it's like Spider-Man's suit. Loki isn't Loki without those horns on. And initially we were fitted, and it was a kind of a conversation as how much does it cover his face, how heavy are they, how much does he use them as like a weapon, or is it it's just a statement of intent? It's like a kind of a representation of his soul in some way, like back off because I'm dangerous. It has been, we've had to work with it because it is they are very heavy, and it kind of, because my ears are closed on, I can't really hear. I can't hear very well, and it becomes quite claustrophobic. So I have to kind of. It's a strange thing acting in it, but I know it looks so good because I've seen it in playback. So it's worth it. And then I read a story about Christian Bale like complaining about the bat suit and saying like, I'm trying not to complain because I get to be Batman. So it's like, I'm trying not to complain about the horns because I get to be Loki. You know.
Marvel has said that you're going to factor into the Avengers movie. Is that affecting your performance, your thoughts at all these days?
Did he say that? I don't know if he said that. I may do, I may not. I know that in the comics I do. I'm hoping I will.
I'd love to see
it. Yeah. I genuinely know nothing. I haven't seen a script. Kevin mentioned it way back. He said, you know, like, you know, that's pretty exciting, but I think it's a long way off.
Does it affect your thoughts at all that maybe you could do this performance a second, third, fourth time?
Yeah,
well, any breadcrumbs or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, I feel that way. I haven't started. I can tell you this for free. I don't start the film with him like immediately gone to the dark side. I think it's good to see. To see that Loki is genuinely Thor's brother, and then there is a complicated relationship there, so that it isn't just like he isn't just an out-and-out villain. He isn't all black. He isn't, you know, someone who the audience can immediately say he's the bad guy. Because I think it's more interesting if, because no character in real life or in comic books or any you know, any play or film or anything, nobody thinks they're a villain. You always think there's a complete logic to what you're doing, and that you know what's best and you know what's right. And I think it's really interesting to see Loki's actions from his perspective, and that he's just someone who becomes more and more damaged by I think a sense of isolation from his family, and a sense of it's kind of a deep. Loneliness. I think when the world makes you feel rejected, you bite back. And I think over the course of the film, that's what you see in Loki. Is he feels continually cast out by different sets of people, his brother particularly. And at a certain point, he's pushed too far, and he comes back with a vengeance.
A lot of the actors have been talking about working with Ken. Shakespeare is definitely a touchstone. Is that something that's come up working with Ken? Any characters you're sort of?
I've talked to him very much about subtlety, because I don't want to do any kind of eyebrow twitching or moustache twiddling. I don't want to do sort of like a caricatured villain. I've tried very much to make Loki psychologically plausible. Someone who's damaged and very, very intelligent and is able to sow the seeds of deceit without, like, he's the Oscar-winning liar, you know? He'd stand up there and you'd buy it. You'd buy anything from him. He's the perfect salesman. Iago, because my background is Shakespeare as well, I've done a lot of Shakespeare in London, and Iago is definitely a kind of a touchstone for me. Edmund in King Lear, if you know that story. But I draw my inspiration from all over the place. I've been listening to lots of The Prodigy. Like, there was an album they released in the 90s called Music for the Jilted Generation, which has a real rage in it. It has a real kind of like, don't piss me off, you know, because I'll bark at you. And I find myself listening to that sometimes. And, you know, there are some great performances. Ken talked a lot about some of Peter O'Toole's greatest performances and how in Lawrence of Arabia or The Lion in Winter, he is on the edge of darkness. He is on the edge of sanity. You can see it in his eyes that he's been pushed to the brink, and you're not sure if you can trust him, because there's a madness in there you know, a greatness too, and a charisma and a power that you want to get close to and you want to see inside, but it's a little bit dangerous. And so I've been trying to kind of every sort of, I drive to work every morning and I'll try and light some kind of bonfire under myself, which is adrenalized and hot and alone. It's a strange feeling when you're playing a character that feels so alone.
What about Branagh's Iago?
I didn't look at it actually. I'm lucky enough to have been in the production of Othello, so I know the play very well. But it's I hope and I believe that when the film is out, that there'll be a real sense of you just won't be able to tell when he's telling the truth and when he's not. And I want people to be like, is he lying? And then later, I think, I hope that if people watch the film for a second time, they'll be like, I can't believe he did, like, you know, in people, like, because a lot of the times he'll do something and all of the other characters in the story have no idea the depth of what he's doing. Like, he's sown seeds so deep and so invisible that, you know, if the superhero detective came in and tried to look for fingerprints, they just wouldn't find any.
Are there certain, like, kind of iconic gestures or poses from the comic book that you're trying to use? Because me, when I think of Loki, I always think of him kind of slouched in the throne and kind of brooding sort of thing.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, I would call it, Ken talks about the racing mind. He said, I want to see, he said that every time I put the camera on your face, I want to see your brain going at the speed of light. Like, but I don't want anyone else in the scene to see it. So there's this very private thing of, like, of someone who's just thinking 10 steps ahead of the game every time, but not making it so obvious that it'd be like, guys, somebody look at Loki because he's cooking up something badass, you know. But I do feel like he's a sort of person that never sleeps, his brain never stops working, and he's always cooking up something. You're never quite sure if you can trust him. And what was the question again?
Yeah. Well, like, were there certain...
Yeah, facial expressions. Certainly, there's a fantastic shot of me on the throne where it's like straight out of that sort of iconic image where he's got the staff and he's slouching in it. He's like, got a problem with that? You know? But yeah, I guess, as an actor, I start from the inside out. Like, the costume's enormously helpful, but I always think, like, what makes it, like, I think, what makes him tick? What is human about this character? I don't want to play a cipher. I look at someone who's, like, damaged, broken, alone, isolated from his family, doesn't feel like he belongs, someone who's been lost, abandoned. And there are psychological tropes for those things, you know, and you see the lost and damaged and abandoned children of our world. There's no accident they grow up to fill our prisons, you know, and that's kind of who Loki is. He's just really clever, you know, so he's good at hiding his own intents, I think. So I think the process of living through those emotions, of feeling so angry with people because they don't trust him, of feeling angry with Thor because he gets everything, he's the favorite son, I think just the process of living inside that anger, that rage, that hurt every day creates an intensity on my face which I'm not aware of. So I don't. It's not like I'm creating expressions, but absolutely there's a kind of a raw intensity that Ken was, like he said from the word go. He said, "I want to see you every day with a layer of skin peeled away. I want to see that ticker tape machine inside your head, like working at 1,000 miles per minute." Yeah, it's great, man. It's like having the best time.
Jimmy was telling us earlier that she has closely modeled her accent on yours and used you as sort of a reference point.
Right.
And that several of the non-UK actors have done the same thing. Is that something you were aware of?
No, actually, it's not. It's not. I think... I don't even know what my accent is, you know? Like, obviously, it sounds very English. Yeah, I'm flattered that they have. I think we were trying, you know, there's something to do, something about, and this ties into what you were saying, you know, you're portraying gods, and how do the gods speak without sounding ridiculous, you know, because they want to be accessible, but at the same time, they don't want to be like, hey, can I get a venti cappuccino, you know? Like, it needs to be kind of, you need to believe that they're gods, and they're old gods. And I think a kind of standard and classical English does a job in some sense. I don't know why that should be. So I guess
one last question, guys, and then we're gonna do something, and then we're gonna go look at some footage.
It almost sounds like the way you're describing the character. If it had been made 20 years ago, it would have been played by Kenneth Branagh.
Maybe. Yeah. Actually, the first time I heard Ken told me he was directing the film, I was on stage with him playing a Russian doctor. With a ferrety goatee and a pair of wire-rimmed spectacles, wearing a waistcoat and a pocket watch, and I picked up an empty water cooler as if it was Mjolnir, and he roared with laughter and said, Loki's the part, it's the part I want to play. Maybe it would, I don't know, who knows. The accent thing is interesting. A friend of mine sent me a text message with a quote from Neil Gaiman, who wrote this book called American Gods. And it was just before I started shooting, it was this thing of like, he said, you've got to get with the God thing. It's not about being big or being broad. It's about being the you that people believe in. About becoming the part, becoming the wind, becoming the thunder. I thought that was great. It's like, it's something to do when you're playing a God, you're just ever so slightly more than you normally are. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything about you is a little bit heightened, a bit more accentuated. You know, this all helps too. I mean, I was born with blonde, curly, Gene Wilder hair. so this is a good look, I think, for me. And my, you know, everything's been dyed black, and my skin's been made paler than it normally is. And so I've got black eyebrows and black hair, and just on my face, mind you. And I'm wearing a pretty sick costume, thanks to Alex Byrne. So.
All right, Tom, thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Gene Wilder hair is a great description.